Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss. There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Chakra Way Meditation Podcast. And today I am really delighted to be welcoming on Dr. Mary Sanders. And the tables have turned because the lovely Dr. Mary had me on her podcast a little while ago. So you can go and hunt that one out. And now it is my turn to quiz Dr. Mary. Now, Dr. Mary Sanders is a medical intuitive, which is one of the things that I find really fascinating. And we're going to talk a lot about chakras. Dr. Mary is also a seasoned chiropractor. She's been practicing for a long time and is very experienced and is, as I've just said, obviously the host of the Energy Medicine Podcast. So welcome, Dr. Mary. Thanks for coming into my world now.
Vivian, I am completely honored to hold space with you again today. I had such a lovely time with you when you were my guest. So let's see where this conversation takes us today.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously you were asking me about me. So now it's my turn to ask you about you. So something that I'm always interested in, and especially because I know that you use the chakra system as a basis for your work, but you come from a chiropractor point of view. And I feel that most people, myself included, used to believe that chiropractors were just people who fixed your back and they weren't sort of spiritual or energy. It was kind of like a practical affair. So talk me through your journey. How did you become a chiropractor? Why did you become a chiropractor? And how have the chakras become involved in your work and in your life?
It's been such a long journey, Roseanne, that I have to say that I'm going to do my best to condense it for you and the listeners, just merely because I don't want to bore anybody with, you know, a long history. But essentially, to be honest with you all, I was born hearing impaired, and I went undiagnosed with a 50%, at least 50% hearing impairment until the age of 3.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Now, the reason that I start with this point is to emphasize that for the first 3 years of my life, I spent the majority of my time within the spiritual realm, meaning I was somewhere here, you know, on the physical planet, and I was very much connected to what was happening in the ionosphere surrounding me. And clearly, I knew that I was in a loving family and that conversation and energy was coming at me. I just didn't understand it in the way of words. So I got to train myself out of survival and necessity to interpret energy frequencies. Okay. So I knew the difference of my mom's, you know, warming, loving approach, you know, and coddling that mothers do for their daughters. I also knew the difference of if somebody was hostile or angry, or if my safety was threatened in any way, shape, or form. And so what that did at a very young age, and I didn't know this clearly at the time, but it's now clear to me, let's just put it this way, that I was overdeveloping in the area of my clairsentience, the space of my second chakra. Okay. And for the listeners, I know that you've been listening to the Zen podcast, The Chakra Wave, for quite a while. You know that the second energy center is located just underneath the belly button. Okay. And that is the energy center in which we consciously or subconsciously, we absorb other people's frequencies or frequencies of places and things. And we feel as though it is our responsibility to hold that space for the other person to make their life easier. And in reality, that is a fallacy, meaning that if we allow the other person to have their own journey and we shift from the place of empathy within the space of the second chakra and into the space of compassion within the space of the fourth chakra, the heart, then that allows the other person to have their own journey. Okay. Now, here I am at 3 years old. I don't understand what's happening in my environment, but I feel everything acutely. And coupled with the development, many of you may know that psychometry, the hand, the palm chakras pop open when somebody is acutely processing information within the space of the second. And so I intuitively knew, and this is of no means to belittle anybody's journey towards discovering their path. But I knew intuitively at the age of 3 that I needed to have my hands on physical bodies in this lifetime. I love touching people. I love touching things. I love touching bodies. I was the kind of kid, and this is a funny story. I didn't know at the time what I was doing, but I was raised in a good old Catholic family, and we would go to church every Saturday night or Sunday morning, and I inevitably would place myself between my mother and my father standing at the, sitting in the pew, and I would hold my mom's hand, right? And I would in my right hand, and I would hold my dad's hand in my left hand. And because I couldn't hear what was going on up at the front, I had no idea that this guy up front had a story or a message. I was just there because my family was there. And so, because I couldn't hear him. And so, what I would do is I would play the game of zapping energy. So, I would zap my mom's energy and I literally would run it through my body and then I would zap my dad. And then I would take some of my dad's energy through my left hand, run it through my body like a wave, and then I would zap my mom. And that's what I did. To entertain myself for the 45 minutes, 50 minutes, 60 minutes, however long we were in there.
How extraordinary.
So,
Were your parents aware of what you were doing when you were?
oh, heck no, heck no. They were clueless. Oh,
What an
so,
extraordinary story. That is amazing. That's so cool. So yes, God, I don't want to interrupt you. Come on. And then, so you're only three at this stage. This is amazing.
So I'm 3 and I know that I have to have my hands on people. So fast forward, I get my undergraduate degree, and 5 days after I completed my undergraduate degree, I'm in chiropractic school. Okay. Now I am in the world of an environment where philosophy is king, meaning that we talk about from the very first day that we heal ourselves from above down, inside out. And so that turned me on. I felt like I had met my tribe. Like, oh, I get to touch people for a living. Oh, I get to touch people. I get to receive information from my hands. Oh, you mean that there is kind of like a subtle body, a subtle energy that I'm picking up with my hands. So I did my thing. I graduated from chiropractic school at the age of 25. And then I decided that I wanted to go in to be self-employed. So here I am, 25 years old, school of hard knocks. Had no idea what I was doing. I made more mistakes than I had successes. But to make a long story short, I was very motivated and I persevered and I had a tremendous amount of resilience. And then to make a long story short, within 5 years, I was expanding. Within 7 years, I was in a freestanding building. Within 10 years, I had a second practice. So I was running a tremendous amount of energy when I had my hands on patients. I developed a skill in which I could intuitively feel as I went from room to room to room, where a frequency, where that person was emanating their frequency. And I quickly learned that my job, right, as I was to be of service to these people, these patients, was to be one notch a higher in their vibration and their frequency. And so what ended up happening is that with my strength, I was able to physically feel what was going on in other people's bodies. And so then people were like, "How did you know? Oh, I didn't even know that was there. How did you know that was there?" You know, like it's just like it was amazing the information that I was receiving, and it was to be of service to the patient that was on my table. So make a long story short, I was so motivated that I somehow lost the art of chiropractic and I got aligned with the business of things and I became super motivated by money. So then I drove myself to the point of pure exhaustion and a physical life force energy depletion. It was terrible,
Yeah, I was going
but
to
it
say
was
it
profitable.
sounds like that level at which you're working, and when you're working with energy and other people's energy, like, I'm sorry, but that sounds utterly exhausting. I mean,
It
it's no
was.
wonder that you burnt out because
Yeah.
you had no time to kind of recoup yourself and take care of yourself, by the sounds of it.
So you're jumping ahead and asking the right questions. And that is nobody taught me in chiropractic school how important it is if you are in the service industry, especially if you ha have hands-on patients, that there needs to be a separation of the energy, and it is not your journey to hold the energy for other people in their healing process. It's just not. It's just not. I didn't learn that until I went to the Academy of Intuition Medicine. So, and that's something that we can talk about during the podcast, because listeners, I'm here to tell you that was a game changer and a life-saving process for me. Still is. And I do it on a daily basis. So what you're saying is exactly right. I didn't know my energy versus the energy of my practice and the people and the staff and the doctors that I had working for me. I was so saturated with other people's energies. And you'll hear me lovingly refer to it as OPEs moving forward. I couldn't tell you where my boundaries ended and somebody else's began.
Oh, yes.
So my husband looked at me and he said, "Mary," he goes, "look, I'm here to tell you that we need to make some changes. You need to make some changes. You're ill. You're not doing well. And if you continue down this path, you will make yourself extremely ill." And he was like, "I don't know if our relationship will survive it." And at that time, he was looking to, he's in education, and he took a job with, obviously in consulting with me and my desires as well. But we ended up selling everything. I sold my practices, we sold our home, we sold all of the earthly possessions that were in the home, and we took off and I ran away. I ran away to the other side of the world. I woke up and we were in Ho Chi Minh City, Vietnam.
My gosh, I love that city. It's wonderful. How extraordinary. How long did you travel for?
Let's see, we lived internationally for 10 years. Yeah, and what a journey. What a journey. Because when I landed on the other side of the world, I kid you not, your energy has to recalibrate as to how you run your energy, the electromagnetic current that surrounds you. If you think about it, the polarity of being on the other side of the world, it affects you intimately.
This is so,
So
can I just interject? Because I have a question. We'll come back to this, but I've had a question about this that, and I feel like you're the right person to ask. So you get on a plane and you fly to the other side of the, let's say you fly like 5 hours. It's a hell of a distance in the flight in a plane for 5 hours, and you go to Ho Chi Minh City, other side of the world, even more extreme. I've always said that my astral body is not keeping up with the plane. It's kind of left some of me behind. And that's what jet lag is waiting for the rest of you to kind of catch up. And people always go, yeah, whatever, you're a bit weird, Roseanne. But is there some foundation in that? It's what I'm beginning to hear you say.
Yes, what you are experiencing and how I hold space for my patients is that if you know that you are traveling, right, you're acutely aware of your grounding cords in present time. You know within your home how to ground. You know in the yoga studio how to ground. You know how to ground within your community. If you know that you're going to be uprooting, right, and let's say you're going to travel over to the United States, then my suggestion to you is to imagine in an expanded state, such as your meditation, pick points, pick you and your home grounded, drop grounding cords, reach the anchor point. Then pick another point. Let's say it's at the airport. Imagine your auric system being contracted so that you're protected, ground down from the airport, create an anchor point that somehow tangentially connects to your home. You do the same thing from point A when you leave the UK and then you transfer over to the United States. Have that grounding point. Let's say you land in New York and then you drop a grounding cord down in New York. And then let's say you end up in Chicago, then you ground again. So if you have the different points of grounding, then it makes it easier when you get to your final destination to be in present time. Now, I'm not here saying that you are going to be void of any jet lag, but I am here to say that you will find yourself landing in present time a lot faster.
Yeah, it always that's a very good top tip. I've always wondered about that. So back to thank you for that. Back to your story. So so what are you doing whilst you're traveling for these 10 years?
That's a legitimate question. So the first thing I did when I landed in Ho Chi Minh City is I ran away from Ho Chi Minh City and I went down to Bali, Indonesia, and I finished up my YTT. Now, since then, I had been practicing yoga since I was 20 years old.
Right.
So I had a really established practice, but I was like, you know what? I've got time on my hands and I think I'll go and study some more of yoga. And to make a long story short, I completed my YTT in Bali, Indonesia, came back to Ho Chi Minh City, and got heavily involved in meditation. I had, for the first time in my life, time. I had time to think and connect and to meet and greet the frequency of the earth, to slow my system down. And it was so imperative for my own healing journey to unravel the dysregulation within my central nervous system. And it took time. And so I was teaching yoga while we were in Ho Chi Minh City, Vietnam. And then I discovered a institution, the Whole Being Institute, right? Where I went and studied underneath Dr. Tal Ben-Shahar for positive psychology. Because I personally was experiencing some pretty miraculous things from my meditation. And I wanted to understand, I knew the human body extremely well from the neck on down, clearly. And then I was like, wow, what's happening within the space of the head? What's happening up here? And so I went and I studied and to learn more about the neuroscience of what happens when you meditate so that I could better understand it for my own personal journey and so that I could hold space in other people's journey. And so then what ended up happening is that I took the tools of positive psychology and my husband and I decided to leave Ho Chi Minh City and move to Bogota, Colombia. And at that time, I know. So I went from the land of Buddhism to the land of Christianity again, right? The other side of the world in the Southern Hemisphere. And we started a nonprofit organization teaching teachers the tools of positive psychology so that they could be role models to their teachers or to their students. And so that meant that I got to teach mindfulness, I got to teach meditation, encourage them to bring yoga into the classrooms, teach them resilience and emotional intelligence and things of that nature. Okay. So, Roseanne, I was creating content. Now, I am here in full disclaimer. I am not fluid in Spanish. So as soon as I was, and we thought that the program was going to be designed for teachers in the United States, but it took off in Latin America. So as soon as I was creating content, it was shipped over to a translator. He then translated it, and then we implemented it into schools in Colombia and also in Peru.
Wow.
And so they became our largest clients. Okay. Crazy, right? I didn't plan any of this. I never told you my journey was linear.
No, it's
It's
not. It was not, has not.
never is.
Yeah.
Never is. And then what ended up happening is that I had a lot of gratitude and appreciation for creating this online learning platform for teachers, but I knew my journey wasn't done. Now, I get to share with you that during this time, my mother passed from non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and then my sister, who's 6 years older than I, passed from drugs and alcohol. And I was getting clear messages about the understanding of energetic contracts. So I was having like awarenesses, epiphanies, somatic responses to the releasing and the transformation of these cords. And so my husband looked at me and he's like, "Look, I know you've always wanted to study more energy, so go do it, do it, do it, do it. This is your time." And so that's when I enrolled in the Academy of Intuition. Now we're still living internationally. So I was like, how am I going to learn this if I'm not in Sausalito, California? How am I going to learn this? And so essentially, I just knew I held space for the fact that the transmission, the information, the training would come through remotely. And so that was a blessing because now I get to hold space remotely for my clients. So I've got clients all over the place. So as a medical intuitive now, I'm coming full circle, I promise, listeners. I now get to hold space utilizing all of my strengths. I now am understanding how the subtle energetic body connects and assimilates into the chakra system. It gets picked up via the nerve root back into a nerve plexus, into the central nervous system, and then it travels up the central nervous system and integrates the programming within the brain. So I get to use all of my three strengths. My knowledge as far as being a chiropractor, my understanding as to how the brain works, and also as a medical intuitive, the appreciation of the subtle energetic body.
Wow, what an extraordinary and magical mix of talents and skills that you have gathered together. And they are just so perfect for the work that you do in terms of helping people. But the thing that I want to kind of go back to was the medical intuitive part of your work. And you said that you went to there was an intuition college school, how I feel like your beginning of your story, you were saying that actually this intuition came very naturally to you because of the circumstances that you had when you were born with your hearing and so on, that heightened those. I believe that you probably would have had them anyway, but they were just heightened and trained, embedded in you early. We all know how incredibly important those first 7 years of life are in terms of what messages and what you kind of take in and so on. So you had a really good grounding at that very young age. But the medical intuitive side of things, talk me through what exactly that is and what that entails. So if I was to book with you to come and see you, let's say in person, how does it work? What are you seeing for me? If I come along and go, I'm just tired, I'm just not feeling great, what's up with me?
Well, for starters, I really appreciate you asking this question because there is an element of unknown. It's not as though medical intuition is mainstream, right? So people should be asking these questions like, how does this work? How is this going to benefit me? So I really appreciate you asking me. So the first thing that I do with all of my new patients is that I have you fill out an intake form. And this intake form is like the intake form if you were to see an integrative practitioner or a functional medicine person. I am asking everything about your traumas. I'm asking about your social life. I'm asking about the physical issues. I'm asking about your nutritional component. I'm gathering information so that I can figure out what has been working for you and what potentially is not serving you. Okay. And so then what ends up happening is that we meet for about an hour and a half session, and I get to intuitively listen. I'm listening for what is up, what current energy patterns a person is running as they talk about their illness or their challenges or their complaints. Okay. And I'm listening from a very expanded state. I'm listening to hear the truths and what are being shared. Okay. Then what happens is once the person feels complete, then we go through a grounding meditation. I guide the patient down to the frequency of the earth. And while I am doing that, where I'm holding space, and if you've ever had the, it's so much easier to shift frequencies when somebody is there to mirror back to you the frequency in which they desire you to hold. It's a really beautiful, miraculous experience. As a yoga teacher, I know you know what I'm talking about because when you have 20 students in your class, you're holding a container, the frequency for these 20 people. That's the same thing that I do. I set an entrainment frequency that the patient and I ride the waves together in unison. Okay. Once I feel that we are synchronized, I then ask the patient if they want me to lift the veil for a reading and a healing. And if they agree, then what they do, they have a signature in the vibration of their name. So they say their full name three times with the intention of calling forth and bringing near this their spirit. Okay. So here I am in an expanded state, and the first thing I do is I put my palms out facing towards the person, and I sense and say what I physically feel through the psychometry, the energy centers located in the palms of my hand, and then I get to start looking and witnessing as to how embodied their spirit is within their physical home. Okay. The first thing that typically comes to me is to the density of their frequency, meaning are they filled up with their essence or are they depleted? Are they carrying other people's energies? Are they a present of OPEs? So then what we do is we set the intention, and there's a sequence as I hold four people as they release other people's energies. Okay, not only from their auric field in their physical body, but their chakra systems. That's the first place we start. And quite honestly, that can be the entire first session because people are holding the frequency of other people, places, and things within their system, and they're not even consciously aware of it. Because what happens is that as we exist, the spirit residing within the human home on this physical planet, the energy, this is my belief system, the energy that is out in the environment gets to come through the various different layers of the auric field, whether it's contractual or non-contractual. And then what ends up happening, it penetrates into the space of the chakra system and it's spinning, doing its own thing, right? Trying to assimilate this information. Not only are they receiving and assimilating information, they are also expressing out to the world what they are digesting. And so we go through, if we're looking at, because I know the central nervous system and the endocrine system, if we're looking at somebody that possibly has digestive issues, if they're having issues with their pancreas, spleen, liver, all those areas that I'm naturally gravitated to look at and to diagnose what's happening within the space of the third chakra. And most of the information that we see, that people see, is comes from the front space of their body because that's what we can physically see. But there's a lot happening on the backside of the body. And so, consequently, that's where the majority of the non-contractual cord or energy penetration comes into the system. And if we're going to stay with the same energy center for the sake of this example, the solar plexus, the third chakra, located just underneath the tip of the sternum, the xiphoid process associated with the enteric nervous system, right? We all have heard the buzzwords of polyvagal theories and how we store traumas within our body. So the enteric system is definitely on board. But it's all about sovereignty, control, self-worth, confidence. And forgive me, audience, but literally all of us have been corded somehow, some way that we have been tampered with to kind of diminish our power so that we fit into the paradigm of other people's expectations. And so that's from the space and how I view as a medical intuitive, as you can see, it connects to the organs, it connects to the nervous system, the central nervous system, and then it impacts the mindset within the brain as well.
Amazing. Yes, it's a beautiful, what an incredible process that is to be able to see. And so then, of course, my next question is going to be, so I come to see you. I've got, I don't know, let's say for the sake of argument, some digestive issue. Let's stay with with your example of the solar plexus, or a liver issue, or something along those lines. And I don't really know where it's come from. And so I've come to see you, and you're going, yes, I see where it is. I see where it's come from. And then I'm sitting there going, great. So you can see my problem. How are you going to help me fix it? What's the next step in terms of actually rebalancing those energies? Because what I'm guessing that you're seeing is an imbalance. You're seeing cords of other energy, other people's energies coming in, and disrupting our own energy, losing that sovereignty, as you say. So the question, next question is then, for me as as your client, as your patient, or whatever you want to call me, so what do I do now? How do I fix this? How do I heal this energy? Because when we're talking on an energetic level, it's very subtle, as you say. You know, we call the work of the chakras, the subtle body. So what are your modalities for actually kind of helping?
And yet another really wonderful question. So let's talk about this because it's beautiful and it's individual for every patient that I work on. So when somebody, and again, this is individual for every person, so I receive information differently for each and every single person. So whether it be I am operating from a clairsentient perspective or just direct knowing or through telepathic messages, or I am listening because your spirit and my spirit, your spirit guides the process, and it's my job to transmit the necessary messages to you in the sequence that will serve you to your highest good in present time. I say that because whatever is revealed on that in that session is revealed. Whether I say something that triggered the person's memory, whether I hold a certain frequency and that transmits a shift within that patient, something transmutes. And what ends up happening is that they then can discord, they can release any discordant energy which no longer serves them in present time. Then it becomes the responsibility of the patient to fill themselves up with earth energy, life force energy, and kundalini energy. So then it becomes my job to mirror back to you those different frequencies so that you can empower yourself on your own to continue your healing journey. So we give homework assignments. I give exercises. I give suggestions for meditation. I have possibly it's sound, possibly it's color, possibly it's yoga, possibly it is, it's all possibilities.
Yes, this is extraordinary, and I love hearing you talk about this because, what you're describing is very similar to the way that I work, and the way that I work is highly intuitive, in that I meet somebody and I talk to them and I find out as much as I can about them, and I, from my chakra readings using my pendulum, I find out where imbalances are, and then through talking to them, I go, actually, do you know what? For you, I think this kind of, I think for you, because you already have a yoga practice, this is your focus. For you, because you love, I don't know, art, this is what you got to do. Or, because you already have a journaling practice, this is what you should do. There's never the same solution for the same person, sorry, for different people. Everybody has this uniqueness about their energy, and therefore there is a complete uniqueness about the solution that is going to find that equilibrium, find that balance within them. It's such an extraordinary practice that you have, though, because I love the fact that what you're doing is because it's medical, because your foundations come from the chiropractic dealing with the physical body, and then you came to the yoga and stuff. And I've sort of come from the other direction, from a sort of very practical yoga side, which has become more and more spiritual and more intuitive. But the fact is that you're looking at people's kind of medical issues. You're looking at people who come to you with, I don't know, IBS or thyroid issues or something. And treating them energetically, and I don't know, people come to me with all sorts of things, some, but there's always a mixture of everything, but then you mold it to fit that person perfectly. But the thing that I wanted to ask you about, which I think is you're the right person to ask about this, because you are so in tune with the chakras and the subtle body, but you also have this sort of medical background, you're Dr. Mary, chiropractor doctor, is this connection of the energetic body with the physical body. And I think that so many people think, oh, the chakras are just kind of woo woo, sort of, in theory, sort of representative of what might be there. But what I, and I spend a lot of my time trying to convince people, no, they're actually physical. If you think about, we were talking about the solar plexus. The plexus is a bundle of nerves. The chakras relate specifically to clusters of nerve endings, bundles of nerves. So I wanted to ask you about this connection with the chakras to the physical body and how you see them relating.
Okay. Well, for starters, what you're talking about is the premise of what my intention is for my podcast, Energy Medicine. And that is where we talk about all things that align the mind, body, and spirit. As a practitioner with over 30 years of experience, I have seen and experienced some nothing shy of miracles within my practice. Okay. Now, you said at the beginning of the show, I had no idea that chiropractors were really spiritual, spiritual people. We just thought that they fix low back stuff. And that's a common belief system. And there are some chiropractors that believe that, but I happen to believe that we, through the adjustments, the power of the adjustment can alter the homeostasis of the central nervous system, which affects the emotions, the physical, the spiritual, the mental, all of it. So now, with that foundation being, I know it to be true. I don't have to have hardcore science to show me that. I have patient testimonials that will back the experience that an individual has. It's not necessarily about what hardcore science has proven. So my intention is to hold space to bridge that gap between hardcore science and the science that has yet to be proven. There's a pregnant big pause experientially that happens. We know that it works, but science has yet to catch up. Now, the connection, energetically speaking, between the chakra system, which we cannot see, we cannot diagnose, very much like the meridian system.
Of the Chinese, yes.
Okay, been around for God knows how many years,
Yeah,
right?
thousands.
So the same theory is that these energy centers, and quite honestly, the Vedic have seen it, you know, the Hindi population have seen it to be true, in that there are certain frequencies, sounds, colors, themes that revolve around each of these energy centers that then intimately connect via the space between the cells and the endocrine system. And the endocrine glands, they are nothing but glands that are responsible for regulating our hormones. Okay. So that means the endocrine glands that are associated, the adrenals being number one, the ovaries, the testes being number two, the pancreas being number three, the thymus number four, the thyroid number six, the excuse me, number five, number six, the pineal, number seven, the pituitary. So we see the direct connection neurologically from these energy centers
Yep.
into the physical body. And those, there are nerve fibers that run away from the central nervous system, and there are nerve fibers that run from the organ back to the nervous system. Those are afferent, efferent nervous systems. So the chemistry that gets changed and altered within the endocrine system is then going to send a signal back to the central nervous system. Central nervous system send it straight back up, and then the neuropeptides are going to start to change within the brain. Those are just the hormones. That's how your brain patterns in neuroplasticity. It's like the every one of my trillions of myself lights up when I talk about this, because I know it.
Yes.
I know it to be
Yes.
true.
I know. I know. So do I. Absolutely. I hear it and I see it in your actions and the way you're speaking. And for me, like it's this thing where you've just described this nervous system and how the nerves, you know, send, they gather information, they send information. Now, I want to ask people who don't kind of aren't buying this, how do you think that this information is traveling? Like, what is it that pushes it along? What is it that makes this movement of it's got to take energy? And what is energy? It's what we're talking about. You know, it's electrical
Energy is what
frequency. It's, yeah.
propels the information to jump from one dendrite to the next. And the dendrite is just a soma body that is filled with nerve impulses. And what connects the ends of these nerve impulses? Cells and space. That's electromagnetically driven.
Yeah, we are energy.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Yeah. This is the best work. Aren't we lucky that we work like this?
I feel blessed. But this journey, and I'm listeners, please understand that your journey to finding your purpose and the alignment as to how it gets to be expressed, takes commitment and dedication and time.
Yeah, it does. But it's also such a fulfilling and joyous journey as you make these leaps, as you make these understandings. You take this understanding and then you take it into your life and it proves itself and you go, the universe has shown me this exact thing that I was questioning, and now it's shown me exactly what it's saying, what it's meaning. And so the other thing that I wanted to ask you about, because yes, we have within our bodies this beautiful endocrine system, the nervous system, but we also, you've talked quite a lot about the aura, the biofield, the this energy that surrounds us. You know, we all have this kind of, in the UK, there used to be an advert for this stuff called, there's a cereal, breakfast cereal called Weetabix. And it's like this sort of weird thing, and you put hot water on it. And it was supposed, and the advert showed people going, and they'd have their Weetabix, and then they go out on a really chilly day and they'd have this kind of glow around them. And I'm like, when I think of the aura, I always think of the Weetabix. So that people in the UK will laugh and they'll understand that, of a certain age, of course. But this, I want to understand, to give some more understanding from your perspective about what this auric field is about.
Okay, so I'm going to make it very simple, not to be condescending in any way, shape, or form, but I love this analogy. And essentially, our physical body is surrounded by layers, just like the layers of an onion. Okay, some layers are thicker, some layers are thinner. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's the first thing I want to say. But unlike an onion, our layers can respond to the environment. So that means it is fluid. It's not stagnant.
Mm.
If you think about, and I am going to get heady for a moment, but if you think about the surrounding toric field that surrounds all of us and how the toric energy rotates as it moves from top to bottom, coupled with the spin and the circular way that a chakra moves, then that spinning then comes and encases the body. For example, the first energy center located deep within the pelvis, the root chakra, if you want to refer to it, it's slow, okay? It's super slow, and that is the energy center that is closest to the frequency of the earth, the 7.83 hertz. And so this layer, okay, because of the frequency and the rate of the spin, is closest to the body. So as the endocrine system, one of the main endocrine systems for the first chakra is the adrenal system. But what happened is that it is the layer that is closest and most dense to the physical body. And so what that represents is the vitality of the health, the integrity, the vitality, the well-being of that physical body. Now, you can have a nice, strong first auric field, but perhaps it's not grounded and connected and tethered into Mother Earth as appropriately as it should. Okay. Then the second chakra, because its frequency is a little bit higher and it spins a little bit faster, is further away from the physical body. And the such as the third and the fourth and the fifth and the sixth and the seventh and beyond. I'm just talking about the seven lower physical energetic systems.
Yeah.
And that's how it makes up the auric field. And those, for all practical purposes, are our boundaries.
I like the way, yes, because boundaries has a lot of big meaning to it. But yes, when we think about it like that, in terms of boundaries, that's all that gives that whole new complexion, Dr. Merritt. Yeah, I can see that. Because I have met people who, and there are plenty of people out there who can see auras, who can really detect, and I'm sure you probably can see or just certainly detect in your work, absolutely, what people's auras are like. And that's probably the first thing that you kind of see or look at, I would imagine, when you're doing a medical intuitive reading for somebody. So how can we I don't know, be more alive to our auras and or to other people's auras? Is there a way of sort of fine-tuning that and becoming sort of more in tune with, with our, and other people's auras?
I'm really glad that you're asking this because it's going to bring it full circle for us. I mentioned it at the very beginning that when in the state of my extreme exhaustion at the peak of my professional career, when I was dealing with such a variety of people and energy every day, I no longer could determine what was my energy and what was somebody else's energy. And then when I went to the Academy of Intuition Medicine, one of the very, very first things that Dr. Francesca McCartney taught me, and bless her, thank her for teaching me this, was how to mutually separate. So literally, when you're trying to detect other people's auras, it's best that you start with your own.
Yeah.
And so then when you learn how to neutrally separate, and I'll talk about the sequence of the steps here in a moment, but once you learn how to separate, then you bring it back to self. You ground the energy down so that you can become more intimately connected with your own, the earth energy, your own life force energy in your kundalini. The more aware of your own personal energetic systems you become, the better that you will be able to detect and to feel A, when it has been violated, okay, and B, what is happening when other people try to merge with you and overstep your boundaries.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's painful. It's physically painful.
Yeah.
So to make a long story short, when you mutually separate from a person, you ground yourself in present time. So you literally are slowing your frequencies down. Then you begin to envision the person, people, place, or thing that you would like to mutually separate from outside your biosphere. So for example, if I want to mutually separate from my father, he is, let's say, 180 miles away from me. So I can be here in Boulder, Colorado, and I can see him in his own energy bubble. Right. And he's way separate from me. He's way out in the distance. He's nowhere near my energy system. And I meet him, greet him spirit to spirit. And then I have my hands out facing towards him again. And I gift back his energy that we've shared. So what that means is that it's as if it's Christmas Day. And I have a tiny little box and it's a present for him and it's got a bow on it. And so when I give it to him, he lights up. He lights up and he's like, "You gave me a gift?" Yeah, I'm giving you the gift of the energy that we've shared together. So you watch him. He unravels, you know, he takes the bow off. He takes the lid off the box. He looks at it and he's like, "Oh, I've always wanted this." And so he's ecstatic. And you watch him revel in his happiness. And then you say, "I'm glad that you're happy. But now it's my time to retrieve the energy that it rightfully belongs to me." So I then witness the energy coming from his energetic bubble, like it's a rainbow or a stream of energy as it returns back to me. And in turn, I gently want to ground it down, but I'm fluffing myself up with more life force energy.
Yeah.
And so then I'm like, "All right, we gave each other your gifts. Time to sever these cords." So sometimes I just take the bow and make a little knot in the cord and it severs the cords. And then I bring myself into my awareness in present time. And I simply say 5 neutral separating facts. "My name is Mary. I'm here in Boulder. I happen to be sitting behind my black desk on a white chair, and I have olive green boots on." And so that gives me the separate identifiable tool to see myself as an individual, a beautiful spirit residing within her own human home, free of any other OPE.
Wow, what an incredibly beautiful and powerful thing to do. And I mean, presumably this is you just sit down, you bring yourself into, a quiet state, use your breath, whatever, just whatever it takes to find that calm, that quiet, and play that out within your mind.
And I'll share with you, I mutually separate from my husband every night when we lay down to go to bed.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I kiss him. I say, I love you tremendously. I'm going to mutually separate because people feel it when you separate from them. They'll ask you, they'll be like, hey, Mary, what's going on? You feel a little distant. Oh, is everything okay? And you're like, yeah, I'm fine. Thanks for asking. And but my husband, I love him tremendously, right? But he's got his own stuff. I've got my own stuff. Plus, I love to travel at night. I don't want him tagging on. So I literally, I tell him I love him tremendously. I'm going to mutually separate. So he knows because he's experiencing that. Oh, she's going back to herself. And he wants me to do that, right? And so then,
A loving partner would want you to do that, and I
yeah.
can totally see that for those people who are in relationships which they fear may be slightly codependent, this is like a huge tip. This is massive. This is a game changer potentially to just gift
Yeah.
back what you don't, what you've got of theirs, and to receive back what they've got of yours, and to just go, right, and now I'm here sitting on my white fluffy chair talking to Dr. Mary. Etc. Gosh, Mary, we've talked for so long, and I'm just so delighted. Like, this has been so fascinating. I feel like I could talk to you for a really long time, and I feel like there's also going to be more questions that I will want to come back to you. So I feel like we'll talk again, we'll meet again certainly, and stay in touch. But why don't you just tell everybody a little bit about what your offerings are and how to find you and so on? I know I was looking at your website, and you've got a beautiful looking retreat coming up in March in Mexico. Are you full? Because that looks amazing.
Well, let me share with you. We have two beds left, okay? And we're going to be holding space. I'm co-facilitating with a very good friend of mine who graduated from the Academy of Intuition Medicine. And we are facilitating holding space for 24 beautiful humans in Sayulita, Mexico. And essentially, what we'll do is we'll wake up with the sunrise in the morning, start with a very easy opening vinyasa practice, followed by an hour and a half, 2 hours of energy medicine. So we talk about all of the tools that we were, well, we talk about the theories and the concepts that we introduced in today's conversation. Then we go about our day, we have lunch, we spend time at the beach, and then we come together for the integration process in the afternoon with yin yoga. And this is our second international retreat, and oh, wow. It is a huge honor to hold space in this kind of a container for that many people. It's just,
There's something
I'm
very
kind
special about doing group work, actually. When you're in a group with people whose energies are aligned in the same direction to do this work, it amplifies it, I feel. That's why retreat work, I think, is so powerful, is so special, because everybody's there for the same reason, and it's an amplification, is the best way I could put it.
Yep. No, I resonate with amplification. It really is. It's life changing and it's an honor. I mean, I'm speechless when I get to witness some of the transformations that happen. So, for those listeners who just want to find out more about me, please visit my website and that's www.drmarysanders.com. So just like drmarysanders.com, very straightforward.
Beauty.
And I am posting all of my up the episodes of Energy Medicine. It's a weekly podcast that gets released on Tuesdays, and I also create like snippets that go out into the world of social media. So you can always find me on Instagram at dr.maryesanders. That's my handle across LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, you name it,
I
YouTube, you
will
name
put
it.
I will put all of those links in the show notes underneath this episode. So, Dr. Mary, thank you. Thank you. Really deeply thank you for this. I feel like I've really learned a lot in talking to you today. I could do this again for another full hour, no problem. So thank you. It's been an absolute blessing having you on.
The honor has been mine. And as I sit with the collective field of the listeners and I gravitate towards holding space for all of you that are listening, you are under a tremendous amount of guidance. Know that the Chakra Way is a place for resources, for a connection, for remembrance. So it's been my honor to connect with all of you today. Thank you.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.